Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
And so let's get to Mark Wogenrich. SI.com does a great job. Mark, great to see you on Saturday. Thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely, Steve. It was good seeing you up there.
I said earlier, and I want to see what you think about this, and you can tell me I'm all wet. I've always felt like in the last few years it's been either Ohio State making one key play each half or winning a sequence each half. And I felt on Saturday they won one sequence each half, and that was the fumble that wasn't a fumble, touchdown, and then after the fourth down, the drive that they did that essentially got them to 20. How did you view that?
Yeah, I could see that. In some ways, a lot of them have been fourth quarters, historically. So that's kind of maybe the frame of reference we would have. But those two instances, they did win those instances. But I also think they stretched some of their wins, against Penn State in other ways too. You get a win in when you back them up. A three and out inside the 10-yard line, you get the muffed punt, and then you get another win there. I think eventually that to me was a big stretch, and I thought maybe there was a psychological win too in getting Penn State into believing that the fourth and four, going for it on fourth and four, kind of midway through that fourth quarter, was a do or die time.
Yeah,
and James Franklin, the way he explained it afterward is he felt like he had to be aggressive because they didn't know if they were going to get the ball back. I don't know if that was a function of just seeing Marvin Harrison catching another couple of passes on that series because they hadn't run, but maybe that was a psychological impact too that got them. I think maybe sped their heart rate in that situation and. I went for it instead of punting there on fourth down. It's not like there were 4 minutes left. But, yeah, I mean, those two sequences that you mentioned, they were 2-0 in that situation. There's no doubt.
What was your thought watching the game play out in real time? What were some of the thoughts that ran through your mind in real time seeing this? Yeah.
Defenses are every bit as good as we thought they would be. There was just not a lot of room to do much of anything outside, really, of Marvin Harrison, who was better than I even thought. I hadn't watched a lot of Ohio State, to be honest with you, this year, seeing clips. Clips are different than seeing him from a field level like that. And I think I forget what the target rate was. I mean,
16 targets, I think. He had 35 pass attempts. 16 were targeted 16 to Harrison.
Yeah.
He made 11. Yep.
Right. And I think there were a couple of times, too, that you would just see him, you'd see Marvin Harrison free. And he wasn't even targeted on those plays. That Kyle McCord went somewhere else, didn't see him, whatever. Marvin Harrison, and the play you talked about, the fumble, I mean, Marvin Harrison was instrumental in that one, too, and being helped. On that play, he was, watching him from above is very different. And there were a couple of plays that I actually did just went, what's he doing that is so different than other receivers that I've seen? And his movements, the way he glide, cut in and out of routes, it just looked like he had Penn State, the secondary kind of just trying to hang on. That really, really stuck out to me. The other thing that stuck out to me, I thought Penn State secondary, I mean, you could say all that about Marvin Harrison, still did just a really good job, kind of, I thought, across the board with Johnny Dixon, Daquan Hardy. They made some plays. Zachy Wheatley and Jalen Reed on the goal line stand. Those guys, they put Penn State's offense in as good a position, in the best possible position to win that game, and they didn't get rewarded for it.
I also thought their special teams did the job except for the one punt that hit the ground. That Penn State special teams were very good on Saturday.
Yeah, and Daquan Hardy was asked about that after the game. It was a wind issue, kind of what you might have thought. But that in games like that, that those are going to really matter. But one of my players to watch going into this game was Alex Falcon. I mean, he had hadn't kicked in Beaver Stadium, but hadn't come in and kicked really in a real, I think, this kind of road environment. But he's been really good on the road, and you know, he had 240 yards. That's the other thing with me. I thought Riley Thompson was good enough in that game that I thought you could have used him in that situation, in punting in that situation, make that play. And that, you know, Tyler Ellison on the ball to get those things. That was very much a two-phase game, as much as coaches love to say complimentary football. They got the complimentary football for the most part from two of their phases.
Because, you know, it's interesting about the two punters. You know what the two of them have in common? Besides, you know, the rugby style and so forth. Yeah. Neither one of them has a touchback this season on punt. All right? So you would feel good that you can get the ball with either punter inside the 10-15-yard line because neither one of them has had a touchback this year.
Yeah. Yeah, especially from he would have been punting, you know, inside of midfield kind of things. It was something that he could have definitely gotten at least inside. You know, the 20. I think comfortably that you could have held that. And with 7.5 minutes to go, I would have taken my chance on the defense.
Yeah. And what did James say about that? Because it turned out, here's the irony of all ironies, the cord that attaches the headset stuff in the locker room for us, it ran under a door and somebody opened the door and it knocked the plug out. Like, great.
So we didn't get
a chance to talk to him. They didn't realize it until they actually went back and found it, and they found it laying on the floor. It's just stuff like that happens. So you don't get worried. You know, it just happens. So when it was, what did he say about it when he was asked about it?
Yeah, he just said, you might not at that point. He felt like you might not get the ball back. I think that was pretty much word for word. We may not get the ball back. We needed to be aggressive. And at that point, I don't remember what the exact third down number was in that situation. I mean, it was over 15 at one point. And on, you know, I think their yardage, I remember looking on the set sheet, their yardage of third and short, they weren't getting any like real substantial yardage at all, even on third and short kind of plays. They were not moving anywhere. They didn't complete passes on those third and short attempts. That was essentially, this was a third and four, you know, now on fourth and four. That was, I thought that was a really, really tough moment to put that offense that if they're feeling like this is desperate to go for it at this point, and they had been kind of straining already, I might have given them one more reset.
Yeah. Is it too early, because it's game 7 and there's still more football to play, to now like put Penn State into a box as to what they are and what they aren't? Or was this game enough to tell people what they are and what they aren't?
I think there's some of that. I mean, we knew defensively. They were as good defensively as we thought they were going to be. I mean, I think I predicted them to win. I picked them to win, and I think it was my score was going to be something like 20-17. I thought, you know, scoring 20 points would have been enough, and it almost really kind of was.
Right.
That late touchdown, I think, was just against a flailing defense. The thing I'm curious about offensively is where they were, is that identity that we'd heard a lot about, that they're comfortable being the time of possession offense. They're comfortable with a quarterback who can make checks and see the field and not take the chances. I don't know that we missed some of that. Like, I don't remember seeing the T formation offense anywhere, especially in their short yardage. Right. I thought the trick plays, I didn't feel like that they were necessary. I felt they felt a little bit forced too. I understand that you're trying to take swings and do something different, do something that the opponent hasn't seen. But they, and again, those are all hindsight because they didn't work. If they work, they're great. But the one taking the ball out of Drew's hands, especially after the muffed punt, I felt like if you're going to take the swing there, take it with Drew. Take it with your best player, your quarterback throwing to your best player instead of having maybe your best offensive threat throwing the ball. That was where a little bit I think they got out of some of the identity that we had seen about being comfortable in your own skin. Seemed to me like they left that a little bit at the door and got desperate might be too strong a word, but they got antsy. It just felt like they got a little anxious in some situations.
Because it's interesting because Ohio State, whenever they brought Xavier Johnson in the game, I pointed out in the broadcast, I said, you watch the tapes. Whenever they bring him in, the possibility is there of jet sweep as their trick play, and they did it three times.
Right. Yeah, right.
And so it's not
and
like
and Penn, they did, and yeah, and they brought in Devin Brown too. So
yeah, and Penn State blew up all the plays. They brought up Devin Brown at the goal line. We knew, you know, and we pointed out it's quarterback draw time. That's what they like to do with him. Mm-hmm. Penn State blew up all five plays. So both defenses were so well prepared. Mark, that's what gets me about it. Like both defenses really had a handle on the other guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question. One guy just happened to have Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
And I still
pretty good guy.
He's phenomenal. I still think Nicholas Singleton could be.
Yes.
He could have been maybe that player in this game, especially when he kind of got loose in the beginning. And then he just, for whatever reason, it'd be interesting to see after the fact, maybe James Franklin will address it Tuesday. Is where did Nicholas Singleton go? Because I think, it was, 42 yards the first series and then six carries, 6 yards after that. I know games unfold in different ways, but I felt like, okay, Nick finally got his, Nick had his feet early. And for whatever reason, it just didn't, they got away from it.
Yeah. Okay, so one final question, and I appreciate the time today. It is about this. There's been points in seasons, especially I remember pointing this out in 17 and in 19, where Penn State's having really good years. And I said they would get to November, but there was no signature game left that could vault them. Penn State still has that.
Yeah.
So is that what we have to wait and see? Is A, how do they react this week and then the 3:30 game with Maryland the week after? And then, obviously, the game with Mitch, is that when we really have like the full evaluation about this thing? Because they still have that chance to vault.
Yeah, no question. You can even bring up last year, too, not having the signature,
That's right.
After Michigan, too, as well. I mean, you've got to come back. You fractured yourself. You come back and you win five games really strongly. Even before you get to Michigan, I'm just really curious about Maryland.
Yes.
Because they've just had Maryland's number. Especially out down there. But, in this last couple of games, I'm going to discount 2020. They've had Maryland's number for several years. And Maryland almost had that, was it the 19 game we went down there when it was at night and then Maryland was going to have a big, 59-0, I think it was.
Yes. It was a blackout game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder where Maryland is going to be on that timeline as well. The two teams that Penn State might still be just a little calloused and sore from Ohio State, and then keep thinking about the concept, the exterior concept that quite frankly we build up maybe to the detriment, but we build up the season into a two-game season essentially, right? So if you're at Maryland going, well, we just got to get through this thing, and then we have our chance at home next week,
right?
How do you really respond in that moment? It'd be interesting to see if they go just put together two really good games. That's what that 16 team did. They started after Minnesota, put in some, two really good games and got themselves to Ohio State. I think there's two really important dates left. I think Maryland
Agreed.
Is a real test.
I agree with you. It is a really important game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No question. Mark, it is always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time for the analysis,
Absolutely.
And as always, thoughtful.
Anytime. Thanks so much.